Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Sherry Denham and Dr. Dave Stoop. And your phone calls right here today, 1-800-229-3000.
I really enjoy your show.
Hi, you guys are the best.
Well, thank you.
Thanks.
What a combination of wisdom and fun.
When we finally did it, and he walked out into the living room and said, well, I know it's not my birthday, and sat down on the couch.
I thought you said he had died. He divorced 10 years ago.
Dave's fault. Another name for firstborn is crash test dummy. And, you know, because we're learning a lot of stuff as parents.
There's a horse and there's a cart.
This is not a three-year-old problem with your husband. This could have started in junior high school, high school. We don't know.
See, right now we like each other, but we're not really being the kind of person that we would want to be to make it work. You follow me?
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here on this Friday, and joining me today, Dr. Sherry Denham. Hey, Sherry.
Hello.
We are just back this week from the New Life Weekend.
I know. I wait all year for when they come up.
I figured you went. Your car wasn't there Thursday.
I know. We have, you know, we work in the same building, so I always see his car and he sees mine. Mine is a mess right now. I have bird poop on the back of my car that has been there since last week.
Well, thank you for sharing that. That's so important.
It's really embarrassing when you're a therapist with bird poop on the back of your car.
She's always there even later than I am. I leave and our two cars are the only two in the parking lot.
They are.
So, not to dwell on this, but my son told my wife that in Candyland, the candy birds poop marshmallows.
I need to go there because then they'd at least be bouncing off of my car now rather than sticking. I think they're hermeneutically sealed to the back of my car right now.
That's good. I think hermeneutics has to do with the Bible, and hermetically sealed has to do with a type of seal.
Oh, hermeneutically sealed. Oh, hello. Well, that's because we're spiritual people, right?
Yeah, sealed in truth.
She was trying to make a spiritual point.
Yeah, she did.
You know, it's the second time I've done that this week.
Oh, dear, that's fine. Well, we're glad you're with us here today, and I want to read something from the New Life Weekend. Let me just read what one person said. Said this. I felt utterly alone. As a wife to a sex addict who is also a pastor, I felt lost and as though I could talk to no one. I felt conflicted as to my next step in life, not knowing what I should do. I could not handle everything going on in my life, but this weekend has been a safe place to bear my burdens, hash through everything going on, listen to others' wives' stories, and find that I am not alone, recognize my feeling, and surrender everything to God. But I leave here with serenity. I will hurt again, but Jesus will walk with me and wipe away my tears. I have a new commitment to my marriage. I have hope. And if you're thinking about coming, sign up. The investment is worth it. I came alone this time, but I plan on attending again with my husband for that marriage weekend. And, of course, the marriage weekend was a wonderful, wonderful time. If you've never come to a weekend, we have Women in the Battle.
Mm-hmm, and, coming up here soon.
We'll talk with Tina later in the program, who will be part of that. Sherry will be doing Women in the Battle.
Yes.
And it's for those females who have been affected in some way by a man's sexual addiction or pornography use, something like that.
Let me suggest something.
Okay.
Right out here in the open, not in private.
Okay.
There ought to be a special weekend for pastors' wives, for your women in the battle. Pastors' wives in the battle, and just call it that. And there should be a special weekend for pastors to come. The 15% of pastors admit to having a sexual addiction problem.
Yeah, I believe that's true.
I'm surprised it's that low because.
Yeah. Well, I think in the.
Well, it's higher than that, you know, because if they admit it.
Yeah, that's how many.
They lose their job.
Right.
No, they admit it to the researchers, but.
Well, I do think that we're putting together a pastor's wives group in Women in the Battle.
Good.
So if you are a pastor's wife, this could really be an amazing time for you.
And do a week called Every Pastor's Battle.
And if you come to the Every Man's Battle, we have a lot of pastors that come to that. So we'll take a break. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you want to find out about those battle weekends.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
All right. We're back. We're going to go to the phones right now. And here we go. Monique, Washington, D.C., WAVA. Hello, Monique. Welcome.
Hi.
How's it going?
I'm calling, I'm sorry. Just getting to a private area. But I was calling. My question is, like, I've been with this guy since 2001, like, off and on, and, like, for the last 4 or 5 years, we've actually been staying together. And I'm just, like, fed up and getting frustrated as far as, like, he doesn't want to commit to a marriage. Every time I mention marriage or whatever, mm-hmm. he kind of, like, doesn't say a mumbling word, like, and...
So you're kind of, your rule is give a guy a decade... And
if he hasn't made up his mind,
but not another decade of my time, right?
Right, and every time I think about, like, it plagues me like nonstop. Literally, I want to turn my brain off in this sense and not think about it, but I can't, and I feel like a big idiot because I've really stuck in it this long. And my fear is that, man, I've been, you know, dedicated this amount of time, you know, to this person, and he hasn't budged. Like, I mean, it's so frustrating and it's embarrassing. I mean, I tell him how it makes me feel, like it's so embarrassing, yeah. And you know, I mean, I just don't know what to do right. at this point. And
Did you ever hear the story of Enron, that company Enron that was worth all this money and then it became worthless?
Mm-hmm.
People invested all this money in it, and they didn't want to sell when it was half the value that they bought it at, and they didn't want to sell it when it was only a fourth, hoping. And then eventually it became absolutely worthless, and they didn't have a choice to sell. You have Enron stock is what you have. This man is worthless to you. Do you guys, I'm assuming that there's a sexual relationship here.
It has been, but, like, because I'm so, just so convicted and just feel like crap, I just, like, said, I'm not doing that anymore. Like,
okay.
I'm just not
okay.
doing it.
So here's a plan Good. If you're not going to do it. But I think you're going to not do it until he wants to have you back again. And then he's going to convince you this time he's for real and all that kind of stuff. Go ahead,
Steve,
Sherry.
I was going to say, you know, Steve, I think you're really right. And, Monique, have you tried to leave before?
No, and the thing about it is he's not even he's not a manipulative person. Like, I understand, like,
so you've never
like
broken up.
Guy. He wants to do that.
Hey,
and then
Monique.
He doesn't even do that. Like, he's okay without it.
Let me, yeah, go ahead, Sherry.
I was just, you know, so you've never broken up before. Let me tell you what I hear in your voice. I hear a lot of anger. You're really angry right now.
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering who you're angry at.
I'm angry at the fact that I've been here this long and how he does, like, all the other things, so to speak.
But I was asking,
like, I don't have any complaints of anything else.
I was asking, hey, Monique, I was asking who are you angry at?
At myself.
Okay. So you know what? Anger can be a really good thing at times mm-hmm. because anger can actually motivate you and move you to making a change. So really, the big question is for you, Monique, why are you staying?
I am staying, for one, is because It's so familiar to me. It's very, I won't use the word comfortable anymore because it's not comfortable for me. In my spirit and in my mind, it's not comfortable. It's absolutely almost unbearable. So I won't use comfortable, but it's very familiar. Familiarity, well, I guess. And I've done it for so long.
What about fear? What about that word fear?
That's the other word. Yep.
Paralyzing fear.
Yep. That
okay.
is it.
Okay, Monique, here's what the research says. If he hasn't married you by 2 years, he never will.
Wow.
So that means if he hasn't married you by 10 years, he never will.
Okay, now.
So whatever that means, it means what Sherry just said and what Steve just said. Run. Move to the unfamiliar and get a new beginning and find somebody that'll be committed.
See, it takes a man with courage to make a lifetime commitment to a woman, right?
Yes.
I mean, really, as a man, you've got to have some courage and you've got to be a real man to do that. Now, he is not a real man. In fact, I bet if we could open up his brain, it would say in there, please, please, Monique, put us out of our misery. Leave me because I can't leave you. I'm too wimpy to leave you. I'm too snaky. I'm not man enough to say to you, we've got to end this thing. Please, Monique, put us out of our misery and move on with your life.
But the positive side is that he's so nice.
He's so nice.
But that's the real side.
And you know what? And when he comes back to you and wants to have sex with you, he feels, you know, he's so humble and so willing and sweet and loving. It's just hard to say no. But inside his brain, there's this big neon sign saying, Monique, please put us out of our misery. Please put us out of our misery. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what we're saying is you have no hope with him.
Exactly.
And the reason you're still with him also is because you don't have real, intimate, mature relationships with other women. Or they wouldn't be letting you hang around a guy like him for a decade.
Okay.
They would be saying, Monique, Monique, Monique. They'd be giving you the three Moniques. Monique, 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 what are you doing? And eventually, probably 5 years ago or 3 years ago, or seven years ago, they would have said, you've got to move on with your life. But you don't have those kind of women in your life.
Yeah, my mom passed in 99, and trust me, she wouldn't even let me done this long. She wouldn't even allow it.
Mm. Yeah.
So in honor of your mom, get on with your life, Monique. Move on, because it's not going to go anywhere.
Okay.
And the next step, once you do that, is you need to figure out why. What about you attaches to men that are avoided and disconnected?
Well, I haven't had that situation all my life. I've always actually been the opposite, that I've had men in my life that really was like in love with me and proposed to me. And I've been married for almost 8 years and I messed it up. And thereafter, I just had like really decent, good men in my life. But it was like I would just play a lot of games and eventually hurt them so bad.
Well, you know what? You can.
And now I have this boo-boo that won't.
You can focus on all that. Or you could focus on what does it take for me to change my cell phone number, change my email address, and not respond when he calls, not pick up the phone, don't go to the door. What do I need to sever all ties with this man? Well, you need some support. You need to be going to a support group. You need a counselor. You can't do it alone. You've already proved that for a decade.
Yeah, because there's some issues there for you, Monique, that you really haven't looked at.
Right.
Why you stayed that long.
Yeah, why you stayed that long and why you don't have those intimate relationship with other women, like Steve has mentioned. I mean, he's just lovingly brought truth to you and kind of called you out. The question now is, what are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that, Monique? You can hear this counsel today, and you can break up, and you can walk away and do nothing more and end up still alone, disconnected from people. And we don't want that for you. We want you to have the whole package. But you need to get the help to do that. You need to get connected with other women. You need to get into counseling and get some healing in your heart.
Okay.
Will you do that?
Yes, I like to do that. Like, what is this? Like, where do I go? Who do I call?
Us. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You're on the phone. In fact, stay on the line and someone will talk to you and we'll figure out where there's a counselor in your area.
You ought to come to the Women in the Battle thing because, you know, you're with a sex addict. He uses you. He's used you for a decade for sex and with no commitment. That's what sex addicts do is they seek out sex partners with no commitment demanded or required. So that's another option for you is to come to our workshop, and that would do more good in the least amount of time than anything I know of. And if you hold on, we'll tell you some more about that. Anybody else interested in Women in the Battle? Sherry Denham is going to be doing that along with some other folks there, and there'll be counselors. It's going to be an amazing weekend of transformation for those that have been affected by a sex addict, even sex addicts that have used you as the object of their sexual addiction, whether it's because you've been in an affair with them or it's your husband, whatever, boyfriend. It's kind of strange how those things go. But call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Let's go to Anna. She's calling from Raleigh, North Carolina. She listens on XM Satellite Radio, station 131 at 1 p.m. Hello there.
Hello. How are you?
We're doing well. Thank you. How could we help?
Well, thank you for taking my call. I'm a proud Club New Life member.
Yay. Thank
and,
you.
my call is in regards to my marriage. I've been married for 13 years, and we will be moving this year from the East Coast to the West Coast.
Why is that?
For my husband's job.
What does he do?
He is a surgeon.
Surgeon.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
A doctor. And the military paid for his medical school.
Okay.
So they said, we want you out here to sort of pay this time back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 7 years ago, my husband had an affair. And I'm so fortunate to say that we survived that, and he did a 180. He became, went from avoider to open book, vulnerable,
mm-hmm.
you know, really changed. And you know, and I feel like trust has taken so long to build back that, you know, we were finally at a good place. And now we have found out that the woman he had an affair with, he will be working with.
What are the chances of that happening? How did that...
Exactly.
Wow.
And,
What will they be doing together? What kind of work are you talking about?
Well, she is a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And she is an operating room nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband, is in a distinct specialty in surgery,
mm-hmm.
and she works in that particular operating room.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a small...
That's pretty tough.
What has he said about this, Anna?
Well, at first I said to him, I'm starting to feel panicked about this.
Mm-hmm.
All the feelings of humiliation,
sure.
anger, you know... are coming up in me again.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you've been faithful these 7 years. I know that I have access to your email, bank account. I know all of that. But what I don't trust is her.
Sure.
She is still single. And he said, I'm going to be so busy that I'm not worried about that.
That's too bad that he said that.
Well,
I mean, really, he didn't connect with her fear.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
I mean, made some statement about it.
That's typical
versus,
male.
Yeah,
I don't
it
think
is.
So. I think he's avoiding the issue. I mean, okay. that's a yeah. hot topic for you, Anna. And I think he was avoiding you and
that's,
avoiding
that's
the
male,
pain.
That's the male part that I was referring to.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do with your pain, so I just
okay.
reassure you.
I don't think it has to be this way.
Well, let me say something to you, Anna. What I've found in working with couples over the years is that once the affair is over and time has passed and the man has really done some recovery work where he sees how stupid he was, and it sounds like he's done that because of the changes
yes.
you've described, that person is probably the least attractive person that exists in the universe to him. Now, he needs to be able to talk with you about that, But that's what I have seen with men who really work through their side of what happened and have come to terms with it, is that they're not vulnerable to that person again, because they understand themselves better.
Dave, I agree with you that they're unattractive. But when we come back from the break, I want to talk about another tough reality for her. But I think that is true. The mystique just is no longer there. The challenge, all of those kinds of things. And so,
and his first reaction on seeing her, maybe, what on earth did I see in her?
But I don't know. My blood pressure is up over here, man. I can feel my heart pounding.
Here's the but to Dave's thing.
Woman side.
I am the woman side.
I'm telling you, the man.
having been in a relationship where the other person was unfaithful, I got to tell you how I would feel if that was happening to me, even though...
Well, I'm not talking about her.
Okay, I know.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of. The man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this. But I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're talking with Anna. Actually, we're arguing.
We are.
No, we're just arguing here. Well, I'm speaking of one dimension of him, and I want Sherry to talk about this from her side, because this isn't your side of the deal, Anna. I'm just trying to give you some perspective of where he should be and might be.
So, Anna, I'm going to just be Sherry unplugged with you for a second, because I was here offline, and my heart rate was going up as I was just hearing, you know, Dave talk and us talk, right? Not just Dave, but you. I'm thinking, my goodness, I'm putting myself in your shoes. He's known this woman. He's seen her naked body. He's been with her. He compromised for her. And I'm thinking, I'm the wife, and he's going to be there working with her late hours, and oh my goodness, my bells and whistles would be going off just like you. And I thought, what has this man done to come for you in this? And to set him, what is he doing to make it go away, if it can be possible? I thought, he's a surgeon. He's niche-y. I get that. But what is he doing to fight for your heart? Has he gone to the chaplain? Has he gone to somebody at the hospital? Mm-hmm. Is he willing to lay down and become vulnerable and say, hey, this is what happened in my life. I can't do this. What can you do for me?
Right.
If it was my husband and he was willing to jump through all those hoops of fire on my behalf, it would make me feel more calm inside, mm-hmm. that he really got my pain. But his first comment, I have to tell you, I was not happy with him, because I thought, what? You're going to be busy? I thought, no. you got to fight for my heart. This is a part of the consequence because of the pain, because of what you did.
Okay, so role play for her what she says to him in a calm moment over dinner or something.
Yeah, I know I'm a little passionate in the moment, aren't
I? But she says, "Well, honey, I want to tell you how I'm feeling about something."
Yeah, exactly. I mean, honey, I am frightened. You've done a great job of saying that I am scared, and I need to know that you're willing to fight for me.
I would start with, your response to me was totally inadequate.
Great.
It didn't help me at all. And then go on.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah, because it really made me wonder if you get the pain that I felt then and the pain that I feel now. But I am very uncomfortable with this. And I guess as a woman, when our men transform and they become heroes, you know, EMB, the men transform from their addiction into men that are fighting well. You know, it's like we want to see how they're battling for our hearts and battling to protect us and battling to protect themselves.
Well, I got to tell you, I know that it sounds like when the federal government is involved, we simply must respond. But that isn't true. They know that they're working with human beings, and human beings are in charge of the military, and they can respond humanely to situations. Now, if I was in your position when all that happened, and my wife at the time said, "I'm now going to go and work with this person," I would have said, "No, you're not. We're going to work something else out. If we need to live in a trailer on a piece of land with no plumbing, we're going to do that before I'm going to watch you walk out that door and go be with somebody that you had an affair with." I mean, really, I would put my foot down and say, it's just not going to happen. In the world of alternatives, that ain't one of them.
Okay, and so I'm hearing that, Steve, and I'm like clapping in my heart for you. Yeah. And I'm like, why is it that women struggle to make that same request?
Federal government.
Yeah.
Military.
Yeah,
you make it like you don't have a choice.
Now, the other part that I'm thinking, though, is that, you know, what Sherry said is you want him to fight for your heart. And he may not win the battle with the government, but he's got to win the battle with you.
Yeah, you're
right, Dave. And it is the government, so who knows what he can do.
The least.
But if he fights for you and fights for your feelings, that's the key.
The least he could do is call the chaplain where you're going and say, "I've got a dilemma, and I think you're the only guy that could understand it. And maybe you, since you know everybody out there, maybe you would know a path to help me with this dilemma." And there is a chance that he might be able to work a different place, a different base. All those kinds of things are there, but you're never going to know unless he does what Dave and Sherry are talking about, and that is fight for you.
Right.
And you expect him to fight for you.
And you tell him that.
Yes. I mean, I've made it very clear that this is a grave concern, and I, like Sherry, felt like, I can't even believe those words just came out of your mouth that you're going to be busy. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah. How long was the affair?
3 months.
Oh, wow. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'm so sorry.
It was short, but intense and complicated.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But it's taken years for you to repair and rebuild trust.
Oh, yes.
And so
and
you want to stay on that path, right?
Mm-hmm. He doesn't understand why, after 7 years, that this is still an issue.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you why. Because it happened, and it happened to you. It was a personal affront to you. And though you certainly forgave him, but that doesn't mean you forgot it. Or say, let's tee this thing up again.
Great point, Steve.
That may be a missing part of his recovery, is that he hasn't really entered into your pain.
Oh, there you go.
To understand what you went through. He's only thinking of what the stupidity and foolishness of what he did, but he's not looking at the impact it had on you and how you felt. And that's where that's where you've got to get him.
When we come back, we'll talk about the three elements of a true apology, a true repentance, and trying to make amends. There are three elements, and as Dave said, I think he's left out one of these key elements. We'll do that right after this. If you want to join us on the program, it's 1-800-229-3000. If you can help us, if you can support us, that number is 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or 1-800-639-5433. 639-5433. We'll be back after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Sherry Dennett. We were talking about the three elements here of where a person comes to you and says, here's what I have done, where they make an open confession. And then they connect with how that has made you feel or the damage that it's done to you. And then the third thing is, what can I do to make it right? And
which is the restitution
element. Yeah, and Anna, he's not doing the what can I do to make it right thing yet, because making it right would be, okay, I'll call, I will fight, I will write, I will do anything I can to not be in the operating room or work in the same location as her.
Yeah.
And that may not be possible.
But it's got to be the willingness.
That's right.
I don't know. I just, you know, no temptation has overcome us except those that are common to man, but God will provide a way of escape. And as we're sitting here thinking, I thought, there is an enemy that is alive and well in this world, mm-hmm. and you guys have been walking in sobriety and healing. And I just can't sit here as we've been talking and going, there's an enemy that wants to take you guys out. I mean, how – some people might go, oh, no, it's just happenstance, and it's just a niche, you know, but I'm like, no. The enemy wants to take you down, and you guys have to realize that you're not only battling, you know, together, but you're battling against an enemy that is right at your door.
That is another part of my struggle, is I have prayed and thanked God that he healed our marriage.
Yep.
I don't understand how he would allow this.
Well, it might be a chance for your husband to wake up and see he needs to complete the next step.
Yeah.
So we're in your corner.
Okay.
We're in your corner.
All right. I'm going to send you walking into walls. I hope that will be a great – there's a wall of stubborn resistance there that he might be hitting, and I hope not. This will help you with
that. Well, send her the CD we did on restitution.
Yeah. Restitution CD coming your way. Now, what was the scripture you quoted? Do you know where that's from?
I don't. It's just a word I have hidden in my heart that I might not.
Yeah. Psalm 119.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bible scholar.
therefore, there are no temptations.
Oh, that's 1
no, Corinthians. No temptation has overtaken you, such as is common to man, but God will offer a way of escape.
Yeah, it's 1 Corinthians about 9. Mm.
So you remembered that in the King James.
Well, I grew up Baptist.
That's the easiest way to memorize this. Yeah. The New King James. That's all my wife will memorize is the New King James, because it has that lyrical sense to it.
Let's go to Tina Harris from Dallas, Texas. Tina is going to be with us in the Women in the Battle workshop. Tina, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Tina, you have been through this situation where your husband had an affair. What would your reaction have been if your husband came to you and said, honey, I have the company's ordered me to go to work with this person on a daily basis? What would your reaction have been?
I would have been angry. But I do have to clarify, my husband did not have an affair. He was addicted to pornography.
I'm sorry. I didn't, we don't, and we're not going to give your last name. And so please tell your husband that we don't have to even know his last name, that I'm sorry I said the affair. He had an affair with pornography.
Yes, he
just
did.
Just pornography. Okay, but anyway, you would be pretty upset.
Oh, I would be so upset. I would probably stomp my feet and say, no, you got to find another job. I could not put up with that. I could not live with that.
Yeah, okay. Now, let me ask you, why are you so willing to be open with your story, and why are you going to help out Sherry at the Women in the Battle Conference in September?
Well, because 4 years ago when my husband told me he was addicted to pornography, I didn't have anywhere to turn. I had no one to talk to, no books to read. There was nothing. I felt alone. I felt dirty. I hated myself because the people that I did talk to said things like, well, you just need to forgive him, or this may be exactly why God has you in this marriage. And I hated him. I hated him so much. And I want to be there to tell women, you know, there are right answers, but it's okay to be angry. It's
sure.
okay to hurt. It's
yeah.
okay. It's okay to cry and scream. And that's why I want to be part of it. I want to be a friend. I want to let them know that they are not alone. It is not about them, and that they can make it through this. And on the other side, there's hope, and they can be okay, and their families can be whole again, and with or without their husband, depending on how that goes.
Yeah. Well, what are you hoping is going to happen at that weekend there with Sherry? You're going to be on one of the panels there. What do you hope is going to happen for women September the 23rd?
What I'm hoping for women, I am hoping that when they leave there, I'm hoping that they bring their pain, that they know that it's a safe place. They're not going to be judged. No one's going to give them the right answer. They're just going to be there, and they're going to learn how to deal with their pain and their anger and the betrayal. I'm hoping that they leave there with a sense of reality, because in the beginning and in the middle and somewhere in between, your reality is so skewed. You look around and I remember wondering what the color of the sky was. I was that confused.
Yeah. Mm.
And I hope that they go there and just stop spinning.
Mm-hmm.
Just stop spinning
right.
and just learn that they're okay and walk away empowered with a voice and know that they're going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
More than anything, I want them to go there and just be empowered that God is with them, that there is a reality, that they are not alone, it is not about them, and that they can leave with the tools necessary to go day to day and deal with the struggles that they're going to have when they get back home.
Well, and we hope the same thing. If you are struggling because your husband or boyfriend or father or son has been messing with pornography or involved with affairs or is a sex addict, you call us at 1-800-639-5433. 1-800-639-5433. That's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The least you could do is to call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask for the information about Women in the Battle September 23rd. Dave, you had a thought?
You were wiser than you thought when you said that he had an affair with pornography, because there's all kinds of reports now that the pornography that's out there now is the consequences are identical to an affair.
Yeah. Well, you know, when Jesus said, if a man thinketh in his heart, now he's talking about...
Proverbs said that. He said, if he lusts after someone in his heart.
Well, Jesus said...
If he lusts after someone
in his heart, then that's the same as adultery.
Adultery, yeah.
Okay. Well, now, let's just take that a step further. I mean, if that's adultery, wouldn't some of the pornography where there's a person there, but it's the image of a real person.
But they're finding, too, that, I mean, it does the same thing internally to a man as having an affair would do to him.
Well, thank you, Tina. God bless you. We will see you in September. She's a very committed, dedicated person to helping other women. Yeah,
we have women. We so want you to be there. Tina's going to be there, and a couple of other women, Kalo and Nancy, and myself. Mm-hmm. And they're all different places of recovery. And we're going to have a panel of women that can help to answer your questions. And as Tina said, it's a no shame zone. We're going to help you get connected to find allies and healing so that you're not alone and you can learn how to rise up and fight and find your voice. And
that's right.
So come, please come.
Please do. All right, let's go to Linda from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, listens on WORD. Hi there. Hi, Linda.
Hello?
Yes, how could we help you today?
Oh, I wasn't expecting
surprise.
An answer, but I just have a question. Like I was telling the lady that answered, I'm 35 years old. I have three children.
Mm-hmm.
I was abandoned by my real mother. My stepmother physically and mentally abused me. Both of them have died.
Mm. Okay, now hold on a second. Tell me about this abandonment by your real mother.
She basically, my father told her never to see me again because she returned me late one day, and I do remember standing there and being.
She turned you late. What does that mean? She turned you late.
She returned me a day late.
Returned you from where?
Her visit.
Oh, so you were in the foster care system?
No, I was living with my father. It was 1976, and she was deemed an unfit mother. I've seen the court papers.
Got it.
So how old were you at the time?
I was 5.
You were 5, okay.
Mm-hmm. And I remember it distinctly.
Yeah.
You know, standing there, and then my whole life wondering, you know, because my stepmom, till I was 8, he married her when I was 2, physically abused me. Like, there are things that I won't even talk about. Mm-hmm. But I remember wondering, you know, why I wasn't good enough for her to stick around, you know? And
well, it's horrible to hear these things.
What have you done?
What have you done to help yourself about those things?
Well, the school put me into counseling, and I've been in counseling a lot in my life, you know, to deal with it. Basically, there's still this little child inside of me that I feel like I can't save. And I'm wondering what it was all for, what I was supposed to learn, and it just hurt so bad.
You think that you were supposed to learn something from that? I'll tell you something you might have learned from that, that people are evil. We'll take a break and come back.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE, that's 1-800-639-5433, and tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Sherry Denham, Dr. Dave Stoop. We're talking with Linda, whose mom abandoned her and...
And stepmom abused her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Linda.
Hi.
How are you? I am so glad you called today. Your story is so familiar in the sense I work with trauma. I work with a lot of trauma survivors. So as I was listening to your story, I was listening, looking for the lies that you believe about yourself.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, because what happens at five, when your mom left, trauma is wired in on an emotional and a thoughtful level. And when we have, you said you think there's a little girl inside that is still upset about all this.
And yeah, but I got to be strong and like, I try to teach my children, like, God's love and this, that, and the other, and be strong.
I get it.
It's like, I feel like I can't save what's inside, you know, and I don't know how to let it go.
I know.
Because I feel like if I did, like, I'd be abandoning, you know. I don't know.
Well,
it's hard to explain.
There's a little girl inside is five that
she's
I don't want.
She's neglecting that part.
Yes, you are. Thank you, Dave. Did you hear what Dave said? He says you're neglecting that little five-year-old inside of
just
you.
Just like
you're,
everybody
you're
else.
You're not
has.
Abandoning the five-year-old, which is what you're afraid of if you get well. You're neglecting the five-year-old.
Because there's a little five-year-old inside of you that was really wounded, not only once, but multiple times. But I think some of what you wired in at that point were a couple of beliefs, because I heard you say them. One is that I am not good enough. And the other one, I think, is I'm powerless and helpless. And so...
Yeah, I don't know why.
Yeah. And so we have to kind of, when you're healing from trauma... which you have post-traumatic stress disorder, okay? And post-traumatic stress disorder comes from having these really painful traumas early in life that have yet to be resolved, right?
Yeah, it feels like that. I mean, I've forgiven them, but right? It feels like I can't let go.
Yep.
You know, I mean, they're dead, so it's not like I can say, I feel like God took vengeance for me because they died young and not in such great ways, but I feel like comforted in that, but then I feel guilty for that, you know?
Well, I don't know, like, that you really believe yet that you are worth it. That you are okay just as you are, that you are a woman of worth and value, that you are significant and important. You might believe it in your head, but your heart's telling you something different.
Yeah, I could see where it's not connected. I feel that.
Yeah.
A lot.
And so part of what I do in the trauma treatment is help people's heads and hearts get on the same page. Because as long as your head and your heart are battling, there's going to be a war within.
What should she do?
I personally would recommend a specific therapy for PTSD called EMDR. And you know, it's EMDR, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. And it's basically a type of treatment that's used specifically for trauma to help you move emotionally and thoughtfully from the negative belief to a positive belief and to get rid of all those. It helps you desensitize all those emotions that I'm hearing are leaking out right now, even in the
and
call.
It's the thoughts. It's like the continual, like, thoughts.
I get it.
Like,
I get it. Dave
when
wrote...
When I talk about it, it feels like I'm talking about somebody else. Because if one of my friends or somebody went through that, I'd be like, that's BS. I can't believe that. But then whenever I think that happened to me, it's like, no, it didn't.
All right. We understand that. Now, you're saying EMDR. What else should she do to help herself?
Well, Dave wrote the book, We Are What We Think, and it's a powerful book.
And Forgiving the Unforgivable.
Well, no, hers would be more Forgiving Your Parents, Forgiving Yourself.
Okay.
That would be more appropriate.
We'll send that. Okay, mm-hmm. I'm so sorry what you're going through. I'll also send you my new book, Walking Into Walls, because you've been hitting one, and we want you to conquer that. And I'm glad that you called today. But really, the key here is to stop doing what she's been doing for all these years, mm-hmm. and to get around the wall or over the wall or through it, mm-hmm. because there's a whole life out there that is mm-hmm. different from the abandonment and the abuse that she felt as a little girl.
Yep. And she's so young, 35.
But she's got to love that little 5-year-old.
Yep.
And not neglect her, because she really is doing the same thing to that part of her that the others have done.
I just think it's profound that she was not wanting to give all this up so she didn't abandon her little girl again. But she was neglecting her rather than abandoning.
With a good motive. She was saying, I've got to take care of my kids and that. But she's got to count that. I mean, she doesn't have to do that all the time. She's got to have some time where she just focuses on that part of herself.
Right.
And sometimes what happens is we bury things alive. You know, at one point I heard her say, but I'm kind of over that. And I'm thinking, honey,
we buried it alive. That's the guy in South Africa they had on the news who 21 hours after he's pronounced dead started to talk in the morgue refrigerator.
There you are.
Oh,
all right.
He's alive.
Well, we're hoping that you are feeling alive today. And we're hoping that, you know, based on the verse that Sherry quoted earlier, that whatever you're tempted with, that you believe God has found a way of escape for you. And sometimes that way of escape is to join us for a New Life Weekend, for the Women in the Battle, Lose It for Life, Get a Counselor.
Every Man's Battle.
Those are some ways of escape. So please call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Also, I want to talk to you about Club New Life. You know, we need 500 people to sign up for Club New Life to hit our goals here. We'll send you a Life Recovery Bible when you join, or you could even order Every Man's Bible when you join. And you get resources every other month. You get a CD that I make just for you, just for our Club New Life members. They have ministry updates, calls from our programs that we didn't want you to miss, a teaching from someone on the team every month, and events for our Club New Life members. We just had one there in Philadelphia. Got to meet some wonderful people. Right now would be a great time for you to pick up the phone and call 1-800-639-5433. 1-800-NEW-LIFE is 1-800-639-5433. Or if you could make a single donation in the month of August, I think God will bless you greatly from that. I was reading in the D magazine on the plane coming here about a minister with gold and diamonds and rare coins in his closet and all this stuff that he had ripped off from the ministry. It does not happen here. We are very frugal with every penny. We want it to go back into ministry. You can trust us when you support New Life to do the best we can with your support. You can write us at P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California 92651, or you can call or go to the website newlife.com. We're on Twitter, and I was Twittered by New Life, and I clicked on it, and I touched it, and sure enough, there was the radio program right there from Twitter. Facebook, Twitter, newlife.com, all of that. So please call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to that website, newlife.com. That's 1-800-639-5433. We simply cannot do this without your help. We can't, and we really need it here. Throughout August, we're going to need your help. So if God hits you over the side of the head with a 2x4 or tickles you under the chin, getting your attention, support those people. Please do. And my thanks to all of you who do support us. It makes such a difference. And thanks for the listening and watching. And thanks to you, Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. Sherry Denham and all of you. God bless you. Have a great day today. Have a great weekend. See you next time here on New Life.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program,
call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us on Monday for New Life Live.